Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went. All right.
Okay.
Hello.
And welcome to our podcast.
Off Script.
And I'm Allie.
And I'm Bree.
And today we will be doing
Talking Calmly
for some ASMR.
I wish I had something to crinkle. Oh, wait. Oh. We can't do it at the same time.
Oh,
I thought you were taking a video.
Oh. We would be the worst ASMR podcast ever.
Oh, for sure. I don't.
We'd start laughing every time too, which totally ruins it.
My biggest problem is I don't understand the ASMR draw.
I don't when it comes to like what we just said, crinkling and tapping and stuff like that. I really like the ones where it's like involved with something already satisfying. So like when they are, have you ever seen the ones where they have like kinetic sand and they're putting it in like a vial and they tap it down?
No.
Okay. Well, they tap it down, but then they speed it up. So it goes, and it's already satisfying because you're watching this kinetic sand. Or then they roll bottles downstairs. So you hear the clunk, 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 and then it shatters. Such a waste. But it's like visually appealing, and then you hear the clunk, clunk, clunk. But ones that just sit there and whisper or do tapping. I don't get it.
I don't get any of them.
I'll have to show you some. I'll be like, this is what I mean.
I know. Someone once tried to explain it to me as the whole reason you listen to it is to get the little goosebumps on the back of your neck. I was like, why do I want the goosebumps on the back of my neck? And how is this sound going to give it to me?
I don't get it.
I don't know. I'm like, okay.
Oh, man. Anyways, so today we're talking about Turtles All the Way Down, which is super exciting.
Because it just came out.
It did. So we understand if you're like, oh my gosh, I can't listen to you guys yet. I have to go read it or watch it.
And because you absolutely do.
Yeah, it's so good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which one's better? We don't know.
I don't know. You'll find out what we think. But it just came out like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
When this comes out.
Yep.
Yep.
I was about to be like, Allie.
11 days ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
11 days ago.
That's exciting. Uh-huh. And yeah, it's season 4, episode 19. We are almost done.
Allie's excited.
Every time. You guys, I need this break. Not even going to take a break. It's going to be a break. Like, I'll have a couple days in between reading books.
Well,
right now,
that,
I have nothing.
And I was going to say, and you're not reading for two seasons, but you're not really reading for two seasons.
It kind of feels like it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have to, I'm in charge. I'm in charge of the Facebook posts and it kind of linked with the Instagram for the most part. You do your own, too.
Yeah.
So I have to make posts for both of them because I can only do a month in advance.
Yeah.
So that's been super stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm so excited to
I know
I have to do that.
I'm excited because I feel like I've been slacking with the previews because the weeks where it's two of them, I'll realize that I didn't do a preview for one season or the other. And I'm like, screw it.
Whatever. That's all right. Anyways, so it's Monday, May 13th. So Mother's Day was yesterday.
It's Robert Pattinson's birthday.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Today's a glorious day.
I'll just leave it at that. All right. Happy Mother's Day to all y'all moms out there. Robert Pattinson stole your thunder.
And happy birthday, Rob, if you ever listen. Oh, you won't.
What if?
I would die. I would.
What if he messages
literally
us?
Die.
And he's like, hey, I saw you did Twilight and Elephants and whatever else we've done. The Bad Mothers.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to do
Harry Potter.
Mickey 7. Okay. And
he's like, I would love to be on your podcast.
You would have to do all the talking. I would just be sitting here like, he would think that somehow our camera got frozen just on my half.
That would be so embarrassing for you.
I would die. I don't think I could.
Oh my gosh. You reply back, no, sorry.
Sorry, we're too busy. We have too many other celebs getting on the podcast. No one else.
I'd be so mad at you.
What are you doing? No, are you kidding? I would absolutely want him on.
I know. You would message me and you'd be like, I'm crying right now.
I would. I'd be like, I can't stop crying. It's the happiest day of my life. Rob knows who I am.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, that was a whole bit we just did. That's your picture today, I guess. All right. Well, shall we start?
Let's.
Okay. This one's long because I was going to get part of it. Mm-hmm. And then I realized Google was quoting John Green's website. Yeah. So this synopsis was written by John Green himself or whoever is in charge of his website.
Yeah.
16-year-old Aza never intended to pursue the mystery of a fugitive billionaire, Russell Pickett. But there's a $100,000 reward at stake, and her best and most fearless friend, Daisy, is eager to investigate. So together, they navigate the short distance and broad divides that separate them from Russell Pickett's son, Davis. Aza is trying. She's trying to be a good daughter, a good friend, a good student, and maybe even a good detective, while also living with ever tightening spiral of her own thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we have our author, John Green, director Hannah Marks, screenplay writer Elizabeth Berger, and Isaac Aptaker. Okay.
Yeah.
Audiobook reader Kate Redd. She did good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool beans.
I've officially decided after this book that John Green's my favorite author.
He legit, he's one of mine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. And you know what's cool is, not to spoil, but sort of spoil, the movies do generally a good job.
Mm-hmm,
like, it's not like, it's almost like, how lucky do you get?
I know. Exactly. Honestly.
Like the last, because we've done Paper Towns and The Fault in Our Stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then this one.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do Looking for Alaska next season.
Mm-hmm.
And so far.
I know. That's why it's funny, because I'm nervous for Looking for Alaska, because it's my favorite of his books.
Oh, you haven't watched it yet? Oh, because it's a show, right?
Yeah, it's a show. When it came out, I was super excited for it, but also...
Oh my gosh. You scheduled 3 shows next season? You guys, these shows are killing me.
Technically 4.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
Because Good Omens, Looking for Alaska, The Outsider, and The Magician.
Holy criminy! And you guys... it's next week is the minisode, right?
Yeah.
Or no, not this week. This coming Wednesday.
Yeah, after this episode.
Yeah. We had to go and watch the Castle Rock for you guys. We 3 months ago said we would. So you're welcome. No, not even 3 months ago. When was it? In October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May.
Did we really record that in October?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 7 months ago, we committed ourselves
to doing this.
Great. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. But honestly, I loved going back and rewatching Castle Rock.
I really liked it, but
yeah,
man.
I know, it's adding to.
Anyways, okay, we're getting on a whole tangent that I was going to talk about at the end of the episode, but there you go. Okay.
But no, what I was saying was I haven't watched it yet because I'm nervous. It's my favorite of his books, and I don't know, I hold this one a little bit closely to myself. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Okay.
I'll have to figure that out when I read it and explain it to you.
Okay, sounds good.
And so I'm worried that it's just, it's actually, I get why. I just can't say why because you haven't read or seen it yet.
Okay.
I'm just worried that they won't do a certain part of it justice.
Well, I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole season away.
Mm-hmm.
Woohoo! All right. So the book came out October 10th, 2017, and the movie May 2nd, 2024. Difference is 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I was surprised when I read this in October of 2017. I did not think that they could make it into a movie. And it's ironic because I just watched an interview with John Green, the one that I sent you, mm-hmm. where he said that he wasn't sure if this could get made into a movie because of the internal spiraling. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's exactly what, when I read it, I was like, nope, not a movie. It's not going to happen. This is going to be the first John Green book where I read and I go, cool, no movie.
But looky, looky.
I know. I was actually really excited when this got announced.
Yeah. Very cool. All right. So which first? You just kind of said,
yep, I read it.
I watched it first.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Your thoughts?
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. I think it not only does a good job at depicting OCD, but it depicts like anxiety very well, mm-hmm. even though her anxiety is very much tied to her OCD. I think like for me, someone with anxiety, I relate to her a lot,
mm-hmm.
just not in certain aspects.
Yeah, I agree. It was very well written
because mm-hmm.
as you've said, John mm-hmm. has OCD
mm-hmm.
and anxiety. So he was writing. So it's not like someone making up.
Yeah, exactly. Right? He's writing from experience,
which is why I think it was so good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah.
Like I said, he's my favorite author now.
So. Yeah, I love him so much. Mm-hmm. He's my you know how you felt when we got Matt on here?
Uh-huh.
If we could get John on here, that's how I would feel.
Yeah, I feel it. Yeah.
But I don't think I'll get him.
Maybe one day.
I keep trying.
But he's a little busy right now. He was, you know, helping make a movie.
I know, but I guess probably. Okay, maybe. I was like, Allie, I've been emailing him since we started. He was like one of the first people I emailed.
He's been a little busy. All right, so why did we pick it?
Well, actually, funny story.
Okay.
We were supposed to be doing Looking for Alaska right now.
Uh-huh.
But then when I found out that Turtles All the Way Down was coming out, we didn't know exactly when it was coming out. And then when John Green announced the release date, I texted Allie and was like, Allie, can you read the book in this amount of time?
And I was like, oh gosh, I don't know. I read it in 2 days. I'm so proud of myself. Man, I didn't want to put it. I mean, mm-hmm. I listened to it in 2 days. But, you know, you have kids. Mm-hmm. It's hard. But I put my earbuds in and I like tune them out. I was not a great mom. That's not true. They didn't even realize because it's been nice here. So Tyler just wanted to like swing and play in the backyard. Yes. I just pushing him on the swing, listening to my book.
He's like sitting there, sky green.
He's like talking to me and I'm like, yep, yep. Okay, cool.
You just promised him ice cream for dinner.
Right. Or he probably did. Who knows?
Yeah. So I was excited because I was like, obviously, we want to get traction when new things are coming out. So mm-hmm. if we have the opportunity to, why not? And it's a John Green book. So I was like, at first, I didn't want to kick Looking for Alaska. And then it worked out even better because then I got to put Looking for Alaska in as one of my birthday month books. Mm-hmm. I was like, why was that? Actually, it was a thing. It's just that my birthday month has been screwed up so often that Looking for Alaska kept getting pushed back.
Yeah.
So
that's okay. Now you got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okie dokie. So we have some Allie super fun facts. So the first bonus fact for you, there are not a lot of fun facts for a movie that's only been out for 5 days from me making these notes. So sorry, I did what I could do. John Green is open about his struggles with anxiety and obsessive compulsive disorder. He said that he doesn't manifest itself as like Aza does, but he does have thoughts and spirals. He has particularly bad period for a few months after writing The Fault in Our Stars. I wonder why. Just because it was such a heavy book?
Probably. Or probably not only that, but I bet you, because that's the book that shot him into, like, everyone knew who John Green was. So it was probably the weight of the book, the weight of the fame, like everything piling on top of each other.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, number two. In December 2017, Green announced that the film adaptation was in development. It was optioned by Fox 2000. Is that how you say it? Fox mm-hmm. 2000?
Mm-hmm.
Why does that sound so weird to me? Because I'm used to 21st century.
I was going to say, because you're used to the parent station when this is one of the affiliates.
Yeah, that makes sense. And would be produced by Temple Hill Productions, the same team that made The Fault in Our Stars and Paper Towns.
Wow.
But after Fox 2000 was closed as part of the deal with Disney, the film was put on hold. In March 22 was announced the film would be switched to New Lines and would be released on HBO. So number three, it is the first film to feature the updated New Cinema logo. New Line Cinema logo. You guys see, these are the facts that I had.
Well, what's funny is I feel like Allie just said that because I did a weird, like, what with my head. But my
Was going to say that anyways, because I'm like, what a fun fact.
Oh, no, me, in my head, I was disappointed in myself for not noticing.
Oh.
I was like, what? I got to go rewatch just for
Number four, it's John Green's fifth solo novel and his seventh overall.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go read some other books.
Yeah. I mean, you've already read
three of them.
Wait, Turtles, Paper Towns. Oh, yeah. What's his other solo?
Mm-hmm. It was at the library.
Oh, Catherine's.
Mm.
An Abundance of Catherine's. That's a great book. That one's not a movie yet. Oh, you got to read that one. I love John Green. What am I saying? I spaced about that one.
Oh, have fun. Okay. John Green, number five. John Green worked on the book at a local Starbucks in Indianapolis, right across the street from Applebee's, which is featured for the hangout of Aza and Daisy.
That's probably why.
Yep. He also wrote The Fault in Our Stars in that same Starbucks. Aww. Across the street is a Speedway, which also is in the film.
Mm-hmm. Okie dokie. Let's do it.
In the book, Aza is a girl who has very bad anxiety and is diagnosed with OCD. Her main trigger is that she'll get C. diff. And so she's very, like, anxious about, you know, staying healthy and clean and all this sort of stuff.
Sorry, I'm going to interject here.
Mm-hmm.
What's funny is, I don't know if you know this about me, but I am, like, deathly afraid that I'll get appendicitis. I, like, hate that I have my appendix. I want it out of my body because I'm just afraid that I'll get appendicitis and then not know that I have appendicitis and then die because of the appendicitis.
Can you die?
Yeah, if your appendix bursts.
Yeah, but you would know.
I know, but I'm worried that, like, I won't get to the hospital in time or, like, things like that. And, like, I always have to, like, when I get into my little spirals. Yeah. About this, I had to tell myself, like, okay, like, my mom had it. She's fine. My cousin had it. She's fine. But I think it's because when I was young, when my dad's best friends got it, and they, like, we went and visited him in the hospital after they took his appendix out. And he was telling us that basically it had burst on his way to the hospital. And when he got there, they were like, we have to get him into OR now or he'll be gone.
Wow.
And so I think that has stayed with me. Apart from I just hate that there's this thing in your body that can just, you know, at any point be like, oh, I don't work anymore and I'm going to make you sick.
Okay.
Yeah. So her with C. diff always makes me think of me with.
Wow.
Yeah. Maybe I do have.
Maybe you do.
I don't have to, like, clean my hands all the time because of it, but I definitely
eat hand sanitizer. Okay.
No, because let's be honest, that would probably trigger my appendicitis.
Probably.
Because the appendix is the thing that, like, I know it's, like, junky and does nothing, but I also always picture it as something that helps with, like, getting stuff out of your body that it's not supposed to be there.
I have no idea. I thought it did nothing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it did nothing. It was for, like, back in the day when we would eat rocks.
It was what? You ate rocks?
No, cavemen. Oh. Cavemen. Not me. Acts as a safe house for good bacteria.
Oh.
After intense diarrhea, the appendix repopulates and reboots the intestine with good bacteria. Oh, well, that's scary.
So it actually does do something somewhat important.
Yeah, holy shit. With good bacteria before harmful bacteria finds a home there. Humans aren't the only creatures. What? 533 mammals have this. It's not completely clear. Sometimes it is say that the appendix plays a significant role in immune and digestive health.
You better not lose yours then.
Yeah, shit. It says you can, obviously you can live without your appendix.
But, like, yeah.
Great. Now I'm going to be even more worried.
Oh, great. Look what our podcast does. Oh my gosh. Anyways, so Aza's best friend is Daisy, and she's super into Star Wars.
Hell yeah.
Daisy was talking to Aza at lunch about Mr. Pickett, who was a billionaire on the run. The reward to find him is, just for information, is $100,000. And Aza used to be friends with his son, Davis. So Daisy's like, hey,
we should investigate. So the movie actually starts. Honestly, I love how the movie starts because it starts with all these gross little bacterias. Mm-hmm. And Aza explaining her anxiety with C. diff.
Yeah. Because she's in therapy, right? Is that how it kicks off?
Yes, it kicks off with her in therapy. And so that's a big difference, I would say, because I feel like in the book, she barely goes to therapy. You see her in therapy a few times, whereas in the movie, therapy is a bigger part, which then made me like, I feel like the therapist would have caught on a lot sooner that things were not great because you're going more frequently in the movie. Also, it shows, I'm about to spoil something because this changed in the movie, but it shows Aza as a young child and like starting to form her anxiety and all that. And then her dad dying randomly in the movie. He died while he was gardening, not on a lawnmower. And I was kind of wanted to see the lawnmower because Aza in the book talks about how the lawnmower just kept going.
Oh.
And so I was like, oh, I want to see
that. Oh my gosh. Let me see some guy drop dead and a lawnmower keep going. Wow.
Well, yeah. Because that's her memory of it is the lawnmower.
Right.
How is just, plus he like, in the movie, he seemed to still be there until they like called the ambulance and everything. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the book, it was like, she was like, second he was on the ground, we knew.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Oh, I will say too, a difference with when Daisy is talking to Aza at lunch. Aza is very much ignoring her and Michael. Whereas in the book, she's actually like, she'll communicate with them. Mm-hmm. But then go back to herself. Whereas in the movie, she doesn't communicate at all.
Mm-hmm. So Aza's mom is a teacher and she's always worried about her because that's what mamas do. And Aza loves her car because it was her dad's car and he died several years ago, as Brie has said. And she also has her dad's phone in the car and she always likes to look at pictures of that were on his phone. Like all the pictures are backed up, but, you know, it's not the same. Aza takes Daisy to work. But on the way, they hear the news report again from Mr. Pickett, and the news report says that there were no cameras, but Aza knows differently. And so Daisy convinced her to go snoop and get that camera.
Actually, also the difference from the book in the movie, too, is that Aza doesn't realize that Davis's dad is missing until they're at Applebee's later that day. But anyways, when Aza's mom stops her at school and asks her questions about her day. In the book, she always asks general questions because her therapist, well, Aza's therapist, told her mom to not ask like the, how is your anxiety doing? And to make it more general, like, are you feeling anxious today? Or things like that, rather than like pinpointing and getting narrow. In the movie, she pinpointed and got narrow. And I was like, you're doing what you're not supposed to be doing. And then Daisy and Aza go to Applebee's, and then that's when Aza realizes that Davis's dad is missing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there we are.
Okay. So they get a canoe, and they start heading out to the Pickett estate. They eventually found the old camera, and it had a picture of him at nighttime. They didn't see it right then there, did they? Or is that when they found the picture?
No, they just were downloading it.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Eventually, they find a picture of him leaving. But all of a sudden, someone spots them and they said they're friends with Davis and he brought them to the house.
Except for in the book, Daisy is like, we have to pretend that we have to do the damsel thing like they do in the movie. But Daisy grabs a rock and puts a hole in the canoe to make it like believable.
Right.
Whereas in the movie, they don't do that.
Nope.
Also, there's this whole story with the camera in the movie about how Davis's dad wasn't okay with them having cameras to kind of like make Davis's dad seem a little bit more sketch.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas that's not a thing. It was Davis had this in the backyard so he could get the wildlife and the dad didn't care rather than some kid getting it for him for his birthday. Also, another difference in the movie is that Aza doesn't find the camera right away. Whereas in the book, they like got out and Aza like walked straight to the tree and knew exactly where it was. Whereas in the movie, she's like, oh, I forgot. It was so long ago. Oh, I can't find it. Oh, wait, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then another thing that it's my favorite thing to say. A lot of the inner monologue gets said out loud to people.
Yeah.
Because it has to, unfortunately. Even though she...
This one did a lot of internal monologue, but... Yeah.
If you did too much, it would get boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I could see why. Mm. But then it also kind of like... Because then there's no big like reconciliation really between Daisy and Aza when after things kind of go down way in the future, where it clicks for Daisy like, oh shit, your disease is worse than you've been telling me. Mm-hmm. So I almost wish that. Mm-hmm. But then also, what are you gonna do? Mm-hmm.
So they went in, they're reunited with Davis, and him and Ava went off to talk for a little bit. And
Ava?
Oh. What happened here? Voice to text happened here. Aza went off to talk for a little bit, and he's like, I'm bummed you're here, just here for the reward. And Aza assured him they were not. And they exchanged phone numbers, and we learned about the Tuatara, which is like a lizard, not lizard, dinosaur thing that his dad is super in love with, and like, his dad dies, all the money in the estate goes to this Tuatara, or the foundation for a Tuatara, not his two children. Mm-hmm. And we get a detailed understanding why Aza, she cuts her finger open with mm-hmm. her thumb.
Yeah.
Because she like draws out the infection that way.
Mm-hmm. That's her therapist told her that basically what we always, you know, how do I know I'm not dreaming? Oh, you pinch yourself. And so the pain is what helps you to know that you're alive. So she started doing it so that the pain of cutting herself open would make her realize that she's alive. But then it was like twofold, because then she could also squeeze out the infection that she thought was in her body.
Mm-hmm. And so she has a Band-Aid on it, and the Band-Aid is like prominent throughout the whole book. It's mm-hmm. a very big, oh, I didn't change my Band-Aid today. I need to go change it. Yes, you already did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe I make mention of that very often, because it's all the time.
Yeah.
So just know that.
Literally all the time. And unfortunately, this is not well done. Like, you see her Band-Aid and she cuts her thumb open, but it's not explained well in mm-mm. the movie.
I didn't get it.
I was going to say, Allie asked me at one point and I was like, well, I'm not going to tell you because you'll find out.
Yeah. I didn't get it. I was like, why is she hurting herself? I think she's scared of getting infections.
Yeah. I think I like gave you the brief. She's drawing out the infection.
Yeah, that was all I did.
Anything else? Because I was like, Yeah. She goes into it in the book.
She did not in the movie.
Yeah.
There's no difference.
No. Exactly. That's a big difference. I was really sad about that. Mm-hmm. Also, when Davis is talking to Aza, he doesn't say anything about the reward. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of a like, oh yeah, they're my friends. How are you? It's been so long.
Mm-hmm. He eventually does. So the girls go to Applebee's all the time, but they're always using coupons because Aza's mom bought this coupon book and it has like 50 Applebee's coupons in it. And so they go and they get the same thing every time. And their poor little waitress hates them because they also don't tip. So they found Davis Pickett's blog online. And so they're trying to get as much information as they can. And Daisy shared about her fanfic and how Ray and Chewie are falling in love. And Aza doesn't read it because it really bothers Daisy because she's like, you're my friend.
I was really bummed at how little the fanfic was in the movie until it was the like argument for them. Like, I think it gets mentioned maybe twice.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the book, it's always, oh, you don't read it. Oh, you don't read it. Then on their date, their double date later on, it gets brought up again. Then Davis is like, oh, I love your fanfic. Mm-hmm. I've read it. Does not happen in the movie. I was mad. Star Wars.
They need to go watch Wonder.
Yeah. Say that. Take a note. Take a note. I was excited for all the Star Wars shit.
have Chewie walking around and yeah. Darth Sidious.
Come on, guys. Show me Chewie and Rey in love. I was mad.
Oh, my God.
And then the Applebee's thing happened before they went to Davis's. So that's already happened.
So Michael, who is Daisy and Aza's friend, asked Aza if Daisy would want to go out with him. But Daisy's like, nah, he looks like a baby because he has a haircut and he's no. And Aza looked over the police report and she realized they have some information that the police don't, which is a picture. Aza convinced Daisy to let her check with Davis. Oh, because Daisy was like, we got to turn this in. That's money. And she's like, let me check to see if Davis is okay with us turning this in first.
In the movie, Michael's been pining for Daisy, and Daisy immediately knew that he wanted to ask her out and was like, yeah, I'll go out with him. I was like, dang it, I wanted the whole baby thing, because I thought that was hilarious. Because then Aza was like, he doesn't look like a baby. And then she's like, oh, but looking at him now, he really does. I was like, this poor kid.
Aza did her therapy, and during therapy, she begins having anxiety about C. diff again. And Dr. Singh tells her, hey, you know, you need to take your meds regularly. This is why you're having anxiety. And she doesn't want to, because she doesn't like the idea of a medical corporation having control of her life. But she has this panic attack when she gets home, and her mom like sings her this song to go to sleep.
The therapy appointment happened at the start of the movie, and her mom doesn't sing her to sleep until way later in the movie.
Mm-hmm. But she also is not taking her meds.
Yeah.
That is the same. Yep.
Yes, that's the same.
Aza invited Davis to a happy hour, Applebee's with her and Daisy and Michael. Her mom, but Daisy and Michael are not together right now. So they're just friends.
It's a date to try out if they want a date.
Mm-hmm. Her mom told her to be careful of Davis because she knows he's a billionaire and, you know, they can be sleazy. After dinner, Aza wanted to go home because she felt sick. She was like very nervous this whole date, and she just started feeling really nauseous. But Daisy's like, let's go to Davis's house. And he's like, yeah, we have a movie. Let's go watch a movie. We have a movie theater.
Wish.
Yeah, right. There's this
a movie theater that gets new movies to them because their dad is so rich.
That'd be cool. There was a spiral piece of art that Aza noticed, and she totally loved it. And Aza and Davis went on a walk, and they chatted, and she shared how some of her intrusive thoughts are. And he said that he knew she had the picture, but he didn't know if he could trust her, that she wouldn't turn it in. And then Davis ended up just giving her $100,000. And he's like, hey, this is your reward for not turning the picture. How about that? And she's just flabbergasted, tries to give it back, but he won't let her. And then she's like, tries to find Daisy to tell her, but her and Michael are kissing. And then she ends up like walking around, and she sees Noah, who is Davis's younger brother. And he found a note that said the jogger's mouth. It was one of his dad's notes. And Noah just breaks down crying.
I wish Aza and Noah had like such a good relationship in the book, and the movie did not show that at all. So I'm sad about that. This note thing happens later in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And here is when Davis says, man, I wish you weren't here for the reward. And then he goes, oh, I know what to do. And then he just hands her a Pop-Tart box. And I know it's to like create tension of, ooh, what did he give her? But like, I didn't like that, because then it led to obviously cutting out this bit with Noah. And in the book, after he gives her the money, she then runs solo, because he's like, I'm letting you, like, ball is in your court. Whereas in the movie, he now goes with her to go and find Daisy and Michael.
Mm-hmm.
So that was different. Mm-hmm. Also, I was sad. This was the point in the movie when I realized that there was no Tuatara on their property, and they did not have a zoologist on their property for the Tuatara.
They had the actual little lizard thing, but in the movie, they just had a picture.
Yeah, they just had a picture, and Davis just said that they were going to be giving the money to the company who studied Tuatara's.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's dumb. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be on your property. I was also mad because it wasn't, hey, you want to come over to watch a movie? It was just, hey, you want to come hang out at my house?
We didn't get the cool movie theater.
Yeah. Oh, also a note that I had made. Aza got dressed up for their double date, whereas in the book, she's supposed to be like, I don't really care. I'm going as friends. Like, I'm not trying to do anything. But in the movie, they got her all cute. Oh, the other thing that you didn't mention here when Davis gave her the money is that he said, I'm going to have my lawyer call you guys to help you get it set up. In the movie, there's no lawyer. Mm-hmm. It's just cool. You kids just inherited $50,000 each.
Yeah.
Like, how you hide that, I don't know.
All right. So the next day, Aza met up with Daisy to show her the money. Got a call from the lawyers, and they're like, okay, just come to the bank. We'll get it squared away. And we also find out that Davis is not legally considered dead unless they find evidence or 7 years from being alive, like last being seen.
Which is annoying, because the movie never makes mention of that, but the rest of this does not happen.
Okay. On the way to the bank, Aza started to freak out about not changing her Band-Aid. And Daisy tries to help her, but doesn't know how. And after the meeting, she goes home and has a major panic attack. Mom tries to calm her down.
This is where things start changing in the movie. Because now in the movie, when Aza got home after Daisy bought a car, Aza's mom's got this guy over who she's like flirty with. And they're trying to change the garage that's away from the house into an apartment for Aza. And Aza's like, what the heck? And then, yeah.
Okay.
I'll stop there. Okay. Otherwise, I'll just keep going.
Okay. So, as Bree said, Daisy bought a new car. And Daisy and Aza have a study date. And then Daisy pulls out a laptop. So she's like spending this money. And it's bugging Aza. They have an argument because Aza's judging her for buying all these things. And Daisy's pissed about it. Davis and Aza hung out at her house and then at his house and they kissed and she freaked out. He like internally freaked out. She didn't like freak out at him.
Mm-hmm.
He told her that, Davis is like, hey, have you ever read Daisy's fanfic? You know, you're in the stories. And she kind of blew it off because she was mentally spiraling.
Mm-hmm.
And they watched a movie together and then she went home.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm just gonna go ahead and tell you about Aza and Davis's first and only date in the movie. Because now the whole Daisy doesn't buy a new laptop. She only bought a car in the movie. And that's probably because a bank account was not made in her name. So it was kind of sketch that she had a bunch of cash.
Probably.
Now back to Aza and her date with Davis. But they, I can't even remember. In one of their conversations that they've had, Aza and Davis, she has told him that she wants to go to Northwestern. And also she's been watching this TED Talk from the scientist. And so the TED Talk person is a professor at Northwestern. So it's a big deal that she wants to go to Chicago. So now Davis is like, ditch school and come with me. I have a whole day date planned for us. And Aza's like, cool, I'll come. And then he takes her on a private flight to Chicago.
I thought it was super cute.
Allie's over there loving it. And I'm over here meticulously taking notes. Because then, guess what? He takes her to see Northwestern because he wants her to follow her dreams. And then she's like, wow, this is so cool. I'm so glad you took me here. I'm so glad I got to see it. And he's like, oh, you're not just seeing it. And then he takes her to go watch the TED Talk professor, one of her lectures. And then after the lecture, or actually during the lecture, she leans over and is like, I have to go here. And after the lecture, they go and like, the professor is sitting outside on a bench. Which, let me tell you, I never saw any of my professors sitting on the bench.
No.
Like, why is this professor there? She should either be in her office or at home. But she's out in the open, so Aza can find her. So then Davis convinces her to go and talk to her. And then a whole conversation that Aza has with Daisy in the book that I wish was with Daisy happens with the professor. Because she tells the professor that she's not real. And I'm pretty sure the not real conversation happens with her therapist, but the next part of the conversation happens with Daisy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the professor feels like sorry for her and then decides to tell her the story about turtles all the way down. But it's Daisy who explains that to her, because then they have this cute little saying between them both where it's like, it's turtles all the way down, Holmesy. And like, that's how they pick each other up now. And I think that's super cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then after the professor explains the turtles all the way down metaphor to Aza, do you have that metaphor in here or should I try and explain it?
I mean, I can't explain it, but it's at the end of the story, or you can explain it now.
Nope. I will let you explain it at the end of the story.
Okay.
Because I also don't like that it's in the middle of the movie.
It is a very like ending perfect thing.
It really is, because it makes Aza realize I am not my illness.
Mm-hmm.
I can get out of this. But instead, she's listening to a TED Talk professor tell her this. Mm-hmm. And so then after this, Aza runs over to Davis and kisses him. No qualms, no worries, not a care in the world.
I mean, to be fair, she kissed him without a care in the world in the book, too.
I know, it was, but then he basically, he's the one who started the kisses, though. And she just didn't stop him.
Yeah, but it said she wanted to.
Mm-hmm. But in the movie, she full on ran into his arms and
she just
threw herself into that kiss. Yeah, it was cute for Allie. And that's when I literally out loud said, what?
And I said, ah.
I was not happy. And then this is when Aza explains to Davis how she's afraid of infections. But she never explains to Davis that she's afraid of infections. She just like says, like, I have thought spirals. Right?
Yeah, I don't think she... I don't know.
And this is how she... Now, because on their flight back home, this is when Aza first eats some hand sanitizer soap. Mm-hmm. And she explains to Davis that she can't kiss him anymore because of this. So then Aza gets home.
Okay. Aza... None of that happened at all.
In the book. Nope. Uh-huh. Not at all. That's why I just went on a tangent.
Yep, it's fine. So we are now at home with Aza, and she's talking to her mom about college, and her mom made it clear that Aza's going to stay home for college. So this is why I in the book or in the movie, they were changing the garage into an apartment for her. Mm-hmm. Right. I can see why you're like, well, yeah, because she's making her stay home. Because if I read this first, then it made more sense.
Yeah.
But
watching it, you're like, wow, ungrateful bitch.
Yes, but even watching it first, I'm like, it's because the mom handled it so differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the book, mom's just like, no, you're staying home. You can't handle life out there.
Yeah.
Whereas at home or in the movie, she's like, okay, if she's going to stay home, she has to have her own place. She has to like, I want her here because she'll be safe. But I know she can't live in the house with me as a college student. So it's like she tried a lot harder in the movie than the
in the book.
So I, yeah, but I know, from coming from the book to be like, it's because the mom's mean and makes her stay home.
Yeah, it was hilarious when that scene happened. Allie was like, wow, that's so, tell me, Brie, would you appreciate that if you were a teenager? And I was like, me as a person, yes, but in her shoes, no, this is this bad.
Yeah, and I didn't get it yet because I didn't explain it. And they don't even really super explain it in the movie. They do a smidgen, but not to the point of
the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Aza and Davis have a cute little texting combo, and Aza went to his house and they end up kissing again, and she freaked out again. And this is when she goes to the bathroom and starts swallowing hand sanitizer. And she also was able to talk to Noah, and he's really scared about his dad, and they start building their relationship a little bit.
Yeah. I can't remember why Aza ends up going back to his house. I think it's basically to like let him down even more or something. I can't totally remember because this is after the flight. But it's Noah who answers the door. And this is when she gets the note.
So Aza went and searched for Davis's blog, which has kind of become non-existent since his dad disappeared. And she searched for a key phrase of a poem that he had told her on one of their dates, which is a poem that he wrote. And she ended up finding it. She gets a message asking if she's on his blog. And then they FaceTimed each other for the first time.
I was sad that they didn't FaceTime at all in the movie.
Yeah, it was very cute.
Mm-hmm. It was super cute. Mm-hmm. Can I just say, in the movie, the next thing that happens is the car crash.
Oh.
Yeah.
We got a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's keep going. Aza and Davis had a great relationship, but not in person. Daisy started hanging out with Michael all the time, so Aza's getting real bored, and she decided to read Daisy's fanfic. And there's a character named Alayla.
Remember how I was said I was glad they were saying it in the movie? It's Ayala.
Oh yeah,
Ayala or something.
Ayala.
Like
yeah. Who is basically Aza. And Ayala is a pointless and worthless character, as said by Daisy.
Mm-hmm. That happens like before the car accident. Aza does go and read all of the fanfics.
Mm-hmm. But it's because Daisy messaged her and said, I just reached however many...
100,000
yeah,
readers on
her. Yeah. Yeah. Which this one, she's just bored. And she's like, eh, well.
She's like, oh yeah, Davis said that I'm in them. I should go and see why.
Mm-hmm. So Davis and Aza hung out and they eventually went swimming in his little heated pool. And she was totally fine with that because they didn't kiss. They were just next to each other. And when she went home, she read more of Daisy's fanfic and something in it freaked her out, right? Was it something in the fanfic freaked her out about, it was like something about your disease is almost like infecting your brain. So then she like,
no,
what was it?
She ended up Googling. I can't remember why she was Googling, but she Googled about the bacteria in our bodies. And then she found out that a cow's bacteria, like a cow doesn't survive without this bacteria that's in their stomach. And so then she's like, so the cow isn't even their own person. They are the bacteria. And then she started thinking about how her disease is in her. And so she's not even a person because she's got the disease. And then she's like, oh, I got the C. diff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because C. diff is in all of us. It's just mm-hmm. dormant.
Yeah. That's scary.
Yeah. So then she started freaking out. And she started needing hand sanitizer again to clean out her insides.
I wish there were more scenes with her eating hand sanitizer because
I'm really okay. There wasn't.
I know. I know. But like the buildup makes more sense in the book.
Yeah, it does.
Whereas in the movie, it's just she does it once. And then when she's in the hospital, she like drinks the whole entire thing out of nowhere. Like not out of nowhere, like it makes sense because she's freaked out about being in the hospital, but like it made more sense for me in the book because she kept doing it over and over again.
Yeah, I was just did not want to watch it.
No, I
gagged every time.
I was gonna say I had been nervous to watch that when I went into this movie
because it was like foamy hand sanitizer. It wasn't like
mm-hmm.
the liquidy kind.
Yeah, yeah, I pictured the liquid kind when
I did
it.
Too, or like the gel kind.
Yeah, which I mean is worse.
It is, but
like foam is easier to like,
but then it's all up. It was just gross.
It's just, yeah, I would not do that.
No. So Ava ended up taking, oh gosh, you guys, Aza, man, voice to text. I'm going to have to stop doing it. Aza ended up taking Daisy home from school and she broke and called her out on the fanfic. And they got in this huge argument because Daisy's like, it is so hard being your friend because you're so self-centered. Like, you don't even know who my parents, their names, or if I have any pets or any of this stuff. And then Daisy yells at her for, you know, buying things and saying it's so hard to be me and all this sort of stuff. And it was just what did I say?
You said Daisy was yelling at her for buying things.
Oh, Aza. Yeah. And it's a back and forth. And eventually they get into a huge car crash. And Harold, her car was destroyed. And so was her dad's phone. And she's freaking out. But then the ambulance comes and takes her to the hospital.
So this was in the movie when I realized that Aza's dad's phone has been non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sad about that, but obviously not sad enough to realize it sooner.
Well, it only happened one time before this.
Mm-hmm. It only happened one time before this. And well, no, because she kept getting her dad's phone out. It happened like two or three times.
Maybe two, but it was not. It was a very quick if it was mm-hmm. more than mm-hmm. one.
Whereas in this movie, it was just Harold that mm-hmm. she cared about. So when she was in a car accident, she just cried over the car.
Mm-hmm.
And not the phone.
Which pissed Daisy off in the book, mm-hmm. which was super irritating to me.
Well,
I mean, I get why Daisy, to a point, like you would think Daisy would understand
mm-hmm.
that it was her dad's car. Well, she didn't know.
I was going to say, I take it as
Daisy or Aza didn't tell her.
Yeah.
Oh, then. Okay. Because well, I that feel makes like, sense then.
Because I feel like with anxiety and the OCD that she's got, she keeps herself barred from people
mm-hmm.
and she lets people in only a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think she fully tells people things.
Okay. Well, then that's understandable, being like, you're freaking crying over a car when we just argued about how...
We just argued. We both could have died.
Yeah.
Like,
what? We just argued about how...
Our you relationship is shitty.
And,
yeah.
And you can afford a car and all this. Yeah. Okay. Because mm-hmm. I was like, what a sucky friend, being like, this is like your soul thing that reminded you of your dad. And you're like, you're crying over that, really?
Mm-hmm. Basically, the car accident happens. The one thing that upset me is in the book, Daisy's throwing questions at her about her life. And Aze is having a hard time being able to answer because she doesn't know her friend. And then she's like, because then Daisy's like, do I even have a pet? What are my pet's names? And Aze knows she has a cat, but can't figure out the cat's name in the book. Whereas in the movie, she's like, you have a cat. Or wait, no.
No, she
didn't. In the book, she remembered it. In the movie, she didn't. It's different in the movie.
Okay, in the book, she knows her younger sister's name.
Yeah.
She has a cat.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. No. In the movie, it's different. I know that.
Okay.
Okay. Go for it.
Aze found out she had to stay in the hospital for a few days because she has a liver laceration and she's internal spiraling again. And eventually this led to her drinking hand sanitizer and vomiting and all this sort of stuff. And Davis brought her flowers at some point.
So I wish the sanitizer was in the same room like it was in the book. Cause not then it kind bathroom. Of, yeah. Cause then it makes a little bit more sense for her mom to wake up and like rush to mm-hmm. her. Mm-hmm. Cause why would you barge in on someone going to the bathroom? Like, even if they're injured.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like you would first, like, Azar, are you okay?
Right.
Rather than, like, what are you doing? Ah!
Yeah, that's true.
So, it made a little bit more sense in the book. Especially, like, because then she's, like, watching her mom to be like, okay, good, you're still asleep. And, like, looking out the door to make sure no nurse is coming in. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the movie, she just gets to. But I really did like how they did her internal spiral out of control.
Yeah. They mm-hmm. do. They mm-hmm. did a good job.
They did. So much so that Tyler kept trying to watch.
I know. I was like, Tyler, look away.
This is not the spot. The other thing, too, in the book, I liked that Daisy is with Aze basically for as long as she can be in the hospital. Like, she's with Aza's mom and she's there the whole time and, like, asking questions. Like, how are you feeling? In the movie, she's just not there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's like how your guys' relationship kind of starts to mend, because now you like she has to stay in the hospital and then you find out about her going through her spiral and that's what fixes you guys, whereas now it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Aze had to meet with her therapist a bunch, naturally, and after two
weeks. Actually, sorry, there's a difference. I still have one note for in the hospital that I didn't realize. So before Aze starts meeting with her therapist, like, she wakes up the next day after eating the hand sanitizer with her mom. She sees Davis's flowers and she's just kind of like laying there in the book. And it's very much like I picture it as like someone who's really high on the hospital drugs, like on the cloud, kind of like, oh, my God, what did I just do? And kind of like reality is snapping into place for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then like her mom's trying to talk to her and then she just looks at her mom and is like, Mom, I'm in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
She does not say that in the movie. And I wish she did, because instead it was just her mom being like, we're going to get you with your therapist.
Yeah.
It's like, I like her actually like finally
admitting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Aze met with her therapist a bunch. And after 2 weeks, she was finally okay to go back to school health wise and mental health wise. She's on new medication and she meets up with Daisy and they do this huge apology thing. Daisy tells her the story of Turtles All the Way Down, which is basically like this person. Remember how it starts. This person basically is saying that the earth is flat.
They're in a science class.
They're in a science class.
Science professor.
And they're in, the earth is flat, and then there's a turtle on the, holding up the earth. And then he's like, well, what's under that? And then she's like, another turtle. And under that, another turtle. There's turtles all the way down, because there's never an end. So her, right, is that the whole point is, mm-hmm. She's never...
There's never going
to
be an end.
There's never an end to this illness, but it's how you deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so Daisy, we find out Daisy told her parents about the money, so Aze decided to tell her mom about the money too. And then she starts texting Davis and says, you want to meet up at Applebee's?
So in the movie, now Aza's mom talks to Aza about how her dad used to help her through her. Her dad used to help her mom when Aza would be going through her thought spirals, because mom freaks out when Aza goes through the thought spirals, but dad was always her calming factor, which is not really a thing in the book. And then now that they're back home, Aza's mom's like, "You're this garage, we're going to rent it out so that it will help with your tuition." And so then Aza's like, "I should tell you, I have $50,000 from Davis.
BTW.
I think the next thing is, like, her mom gives her a pep talk, and that's what gets Aza to go to Michael's show, which is crazy because she was always going to go to Michael's show. That's another thing they were arguing about in the car. Daisy was pissed because Aza wouldn't even let go of her OCD for long enough for her to be able to go to the show.
Which hasn't even come up yet in the book.
Yeah, hasn't even come up yet. And Aza immediately is like, "Yeah, I'll go support my friend." Mm-hmm. But then she gets there and she's like, "Ooh, this is a bad idea, but I gotta go." Yeah. Okay. I guess we can get to Michael's show.
Okay.
Oh, but her and Davis do end up going to Applebee's in the movie too.
Mm-hmm. And Davis sits down next to her and it's way too much for her. So she has him sit across from her and she says, "I can't do this anymore." And then they go home and she messages him to FaceTime and he's like, "Nope, I can't do that anymore." So they're no longer a thing.
That does happen in the movie too, except for they don't go home and she tries to text him. She says something about, "But we can still text." And he's like, "Nah.
Not him.
Yeah. Do that." Yeah.
So Daisy invited Aza to this underground art thing to support Michael, but understood if it was too much for her. But she's like, "No, it's okay. We can go."
Understood it was too much for her.
Yes. Yes. They went and it was super creepy. But this was perfect chance for Aza to explain her mental illness to Daisy, because, like, Daisy's freaking out and they turn the lights off and she's like, "This is what it is like with my mental illness. You know nothing, but you turn the lights on and you have a little bit of control." And they realize that they're at the end of the picket tunnel and they're at the jogger's mouth and something smells really bad and they decide to run. They go home and they decide to tell Davis, but they're not telling the police.
So in the movie, Aza goes to the art show, not with her friends, so that she can show up and have the sweet...
Daisy and her are not talking still.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the car accident wasn't enough to rekindle them.
Right.
And so there's this whole awkward, like, wave from across the room to each other. And then they just go and talk. They don't explain the mental illness. They don't do the whole headlamp thing and turn it on and off. And I'm just going to finish the movie because we're at the end of the movie. And so they go and sit at the end of the tunnel on some rocks and stuff. And then they start like shining lights on things because Aza's explaining how she's like that river. And she's like, "Look, and that," at little parts of the river. And then one part of the river, or wait, no, Daisy's saying that to her and she's shining the light. And Aza's like, "Wait, what was that?" And then they go back to a spot and they see the Burberry coat that Davis's dad was wearing in the picture when he left. And then these girls are not true crime aficionados because they run to the coat and pick it up.
I know, that's my first thought. I was like, evidence all over, you're contaminating.
Yeah. So they pick it up and go through the pockets and there's a note to Davis's kids in there.
Yikes.
When that is not a thing.
Nope, because they never find anything.
Mm-hmm.
They just smell something.
Mm-hmm. And that's not, I kept waiting for them to like look at each other and be like, "Oh, it stinks."
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Did not. And then now they're at home having like a girls' night and Aza's mom's about to be going on a date and there's a knock on the door and it's Davis with a gift for Aza and they go outside and they're talking to each other
about things like, where are you going? What are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And then Aza tells Davis her whole in love inner monologue thing that happens at the end of the book, which I love that it's internal, because why would you be spouting all this shit to this dude who you're like, sorry, I can't be with you.
Right.
But I think I could love you. And then, oh yeah, because then half of it isn't said in that bit, because then she goes to Daisy, or Daisy comes out to her after Davis leaves, because Davis is like, I got to go because I'll never leave if I don't go now, because him and his brother are going away. Not because they don't have, like, we never got explained anything about, like, nope, the house. It was just, we got to leave because dad's not here. But then Aza goes to Daisy and is like, do you think I'll ever be able to be with someone? And then Daisy does the rest of her internal monologue to her.
Okay, so Aza invites Davis over and she told him what they found. And he cried because he never really thought he was dead. He just thought he was gone. And she said, legally, you have 7 years until he's officially dead. So just keep living your life and the money and the house won't go to the Tuatara. And Ava's getting ready for school and she sees the news that the body was found. And she texts Davis immediately. He's like, we didn't do it. He's like, I know, we decided to do it. And weeks pass. And finally, then one day he shows up and he brought her a box and he goes to leave. But she asks him to come in the back and they chat for a little bit. And it turns out that he's leaving the next day. And in the box was that spiral painting she liked. And this whole flash forward without being a flash forward thing happened where it's like, you know, she could have a life one day and she could get married one day and all this sort of stuff.
And she would be happy because she would have that painting.
Mm-hmm. And it ended with Davis saying goodbye. And people only say goodbye that and you want to see you again.
Mm-hmm. Except for it's fun. John does not like saying goodbye to people. Because to him, goodbye is definite. So he always says, see you again.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you want to see him again, if you say, see you again.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know. That was a hard habit for me to break. I'm always like, goodbye. And he'll look at me and be like, see you later.
That's hilarious. I'm
like, oh, yeah. I'll see
especially
you.
When we go bye all the time.
Exactly. Deuces. Yeah.
Peace.
Yes. I have to remember when I'm with him. I'm like, okay. See you later.
That's funny. All right. IMDb cast 43 people. Isabella Merced. Merced? Merced?
I think Merced.
Mm-hmm. Asa.
She did good.
I loved her.
Yeah, she was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
She was great.
Yep. Cree played Daisy.
I liked her. I don't think she was exactly what I pictured for Daisy, but I also think it was the writing of Daisy.
Oh, I thought she did perfect.
Yeah.
But I saw it first.
Yeah.
Judy Rice plays mom.
She did good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Felix Mallard played Davis.
He wasn't exactly what I was picturing, especially since he was supposed to have glasses.
Yeah, he was.
But he did good.
They should have just gave this guy glasses.
Yeah, exactly.
Why did they do that?
Yep. That simple change confuses me.
Yeah.
If he doesn't need a prescription, just give him the fake glasses.
Right. My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Malik Johnson played Michael.
He was so cute. I liked him.
I did too.
He was good.
Uh-huh. Miles Eckhart played Noah.
I liked him. I just wish
he was more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like he had one scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, even Bree saying, ooh, like, good luck with this one. Purna play, oh no, wait, gotta do the last name too. Purna Jagannathan.
Yeah.
Okay. Played Dr. Singh.
Oh, I loved her.
I did too.
I love her. She's in Never Have I Ever. She's the mom in that show. And she does great in that show.
Yeah, she's good.
Mm-hmm.
And then John Green himself played a teacher, Mr. Alder.
That was perfect.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was the best.
Yep. It was this moment when I saw him, I was like, John Green and Hank Green are brothers because they look identical. Oh, yeah. And they are.
Yes, they are.
All right. Is the theme of the book and movie the same?
Yeah. Yep. For sure.
OCD.
Mm-hmm.
Girl freaks out.
Mm-hmm.
Living her life.
Yes.
Do the characters stay true?
No.
What?
The mom?
Okay, the mom.
No. And then Aza actually cares about like her looks and stuff.
You're getting all nitpicky.
I am. Yeah.
I'm going to say yes. They stay the same.
Except for the mom.
Except for the mom.
You can't even
yeah.
get around that.
No.
Which you prefer?
I prefer the book.
Me
1000%. Mm-hmm, it's way
too.
Better.
I like it. I don't know if it's way good. Yeah, I don't know if it's way better. I did have trouble deciding.
Oh.
And the only reason I decided book was because it had all the answer questions that the movie didn't give me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think it just went into the spirals a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I like it.
Yeah.
I think the movie did great, but a book all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Would you recommend it?
Both of them, yes.
I have already recommended it to my mom. I'm like, Mom, I have this movie we should watch together.
That's great.
Okie dokie.
Mm-hmm.
Guys,
today I spent a whole heck of a lot of time adding new merch to our site.
Mm-hmm.
Because should we tease it? I mean, I guess it's on the merch site now, so might as well.
Yep.
we've got a new logo coming at you soon.
It's like the same but updated.
Yeah, it's kind of great. I actually really love it. I like went in. We're doing the nerd party in June, and we went into the making of this just expecting it to be the nerd party logo that we like promoted there. And then as my dad was working on it, I was like, oh shit,
we gotta do this all over.
Yeah, I was like, this is, wow, we were slack.
Yeah. So season 5, all of our socials will have a brand new
logo.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So if you want a sneak peek of that, go look at our merch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then this Wednesday, we have a mini-sode for you, which we didn't
talk about.
Ask them to rate, subscribe, and review.
How dare we?
I know. That's the part that we really need.
I was giving you guys a break this week.
I mean, I know it's annoying to hear it over and over again, but
it takes a whopping 5 seconds and it takes you 5 seconds to do it.
Mm-hmm. And it helps us immensely.
Mm-hmm.
So rate, subscribe, review.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wednesday, we have a mini-sode that we talked about already.
Mm-hmm. Castle Rock.
Uh-huh.
And we're also going to talk some Percy Jackson.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Sea of Monsters.
Yeah. I'm so sad.
So sad.
John gets back.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, I'm cooking dinner for us, and we watch our shows. We're watching dinner. Or you get what I
got it. Yep.
But we had finished all of our shows before he left, and he was like, wow, we don't have a show. And I'd spaced, right? And so I was like, we got to figure out what we're watching. So I'm sitting there cooking, and then John asked me if I wanted to watch Baby Reindeer, which is on Netflix, which is kind of a true crime.
Okay.
Like show. It's a weird one.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's been telling me to watch it for forever. He's like, I think you're gonna love it. And so I was like, oh yeah, we could do that. And then I'm cooking and I'm like, fuck, I want to watch
Percy. I know you said that you and John were watching a show, so you got to finish the episode. And I was like, oh, I bet they're watching Percy Jackson, and I can't because I have 5 other shows I'm supposed to watch right now.
No, because I asked him. I was like, did you want to watch Percy Jackson? Because if he was going to say no, I was about to text here and be like, give me your Disney login.
Right.
So that I can watch this. And so he wants to watch it. And he was like, but don't you want to watch Baby Reindeer first? And I was like, I guess. But we're watching Percy after this. And okay. We watched 4 out of 7 episodes today.
Oh, so you'll be watching it any day now.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so excited.
Like 4 shows I have to watch, so. And I forgot I had to watch Alaska first. At least I have to start that one before I watch Percy too.
Well, then Monday we have The Duff
coming at ya.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's enjoyable.
Yeah.
Will we make an enjoyable episode? We hope.
let's see.
I just found out I have dimples.
Wow.
You do?
I didn't know that.
Neat.
I had my hand on my chin when I started laughing at that, guys.
Oh my gosh. All right, you guys. Well, with that, Turtles All the Way Down went off script.
Bye.
Or see you later.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shout outs to Madam Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romantasy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.